care of it miraculously. I mean, it was just wonderful the way God moved. And so we encourage you to send your prayers in to prayers@bohmglobal.com and just ask, just whatever. No need is too big. No need is too small. We'll pray for you no matter what. The only thing that I personally ask is that you send, when God answers your prayer, that you send us the, that you send us a praise report. Let us know how God answered your prayer, because I do keep those in a separate folder in my emails, because I think it's so important that we can look back and say, yeah, we had this request and God answered. This happened and God answered. This was a need and God filled it. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing to be able to go back and look through all of those, all those praise reports. So again, that's prayers@bohmglobal.com. If you would ever want to play Stump the Pastor, which is fine with me, just ask Nan. You can always, and I love answering questions. So you can email me if your questions at pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. So that's kind of all of our housekeeping stuff for the moment. But before we get back into the Word, I want to play another song, and this is becoming, I'm getting my Pastor Marshall, one of my personal favorites, but it's called Even So Come by Passion with Christian Stanfill.
Jesus, come. Even so, come. Lord Jesus, come.
Oh, praise God. I love that song. That is so great and so inspiring to me to just be ready and to do what I need to do to be ready for the coming of Jesus. And Nan, you have something for us, I believe.
My son's return is fast approaching. Of this truth, you need to believe. Share this good news with others so that they too can receive. You are my light to the world. Share with those around you. I will minister to their needs, their difficulties. I will help them make it through. Be vigilant in your looking for my son, for he is to return so very soon for his bride. So please share this message with others, and of your excitement from them, let it not hide.
Well, thank you, Nan. That was great. The second thing that God talked to me about was hope. And that's what that previous song by Christian Stanfield and Passion was all about, was hope. Even so, come. And what does, Titus, Paul wrote to Titus and said, waiting for the blessed hope, the coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's so important that we have hope, that we not give up hope, because without that, we have nothing for the future. In Hebrews chapter 1, the writer of Hebrews wrote, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is for the present. Hope is the future. The writer of Hebrews also said that hope is that anchor. It's what anchors us to God, is that hope of his coming. Without that, if I had no hope that Jesus was going to come and restore everything, then I wouldn't be a Christian, quite bluntly. I don't think I'd be a Christian because, well, as Paul sarcastically said in 1 Corinthians, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, you know. That's where a lot of the world is at right now. Would Megan and Angel, would you agree with that? A lot of the world is kind of at that point. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Absolutely. I would definitely say that's where we stand. It's kind of like just live it now, because there's that hope is we're losing that hope in our culture. We're losing that hope in our faith. We're losing that hope as a society, you know, and just coming from a clinical perspective, like instillation of hope is the first thing that we are looking for when we are helping people get through difficulties in their life. Because without that hope, they don't have that energy. They don't have that vision. They don't have what they need to continue pressing forward.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Instillation of hope. That I'm going to remember that. That's good. Megan, how about you?
Well, I believe that's absolutely how a lot of people live, because it's like we have nothing to look forward to. So why not make today full of thrills and adventures? And because, you know, we have no hope of tomorrow. But yes, we do, because, you know, a hope as a Christian is the word of, you know, that we're going to live eternally in heaven. And we can't, you know, live here on this earth so frivolously that we don't take care of ourselves. And, you know, and we think that we kind of just get this rambunctiousness about ourselves, that we just don't care what we do. And we need to be cautious of what we do, because our actions speak of us as Christians.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that we talked a little bit about that in the previous hour, that, you know, people are, for right or for wrong, are going to judge us more critically, I think, if they know we're Christians. I've had that happen, and you know what, well, you know, sometimes we get angry, we swear, you know, None. I don't think probably none of any of us are immune to that. Well, maybe Pastor, but you know, people look like in total shock, like, "Oh, you said a swear word, you said a cuss word, or you got angry." They wouldn't even allow us to get angry, and you know, depending on my mood, I might snap back and say, "Scripture says, be angry, yet do not sin." You know. But, you know, people will judge us, rightly or wrongly, a lot more severely when they know we're, when they know that we're believers. And you're right. I mean, hope. Well, let me just read some stuff out of Luke, chapter 25, or chapter 21, starting with verse 25. "And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon." What's happening tomorrow? "And stars, and on earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves." People are going to, something's going to happen to the sea and people are going to get all antsy about the waves. "People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world." I would love to run a survey, you know, find out if people's, I'm sure, Angel, people's anxiety probably is just going through the roof with everything that's going on. And with that anxiety, you know, there's all the physical effects, you know, illness and heart attacks and things like that. And, you know, here's Jesus saying that's exactly what's going to happen. And the people filled with fear, with foreboding of what is coming on the world, "For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." And verse 28, "Now when you see these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh." And I love that, because that, you know, to stand up, raise up your head, that's a posture of hope and confidence. You know, talk about body language. How would somebody, Angel, who's not got any hope, not got any confidence, how could their body tell you that?
Oh, wow. We see it all the time. They don't have the energy just to do their daily tasks. They don't even make eye contact. They're looking down. They're very distracted. They have difficulty with focus and concentration. They can't remember just their normal daily living tasks. And those are all those signs, and they come in and they're thinking some big disease, or do I have Alzheimer's, or do I have this, or do I have that? And it's depression or anxiety, and they can do both of that, can do that to people, and it's very challenging. And it's the number one thing bringing people into therapy right now.
Really? Really?
Absolutely.
Well, in an odd sort of way, that's almost a fulfillment of scripture. And yet, you know, here we have straighten up and raise your heads. That's, you know, that's kind of that posture of hope. You're straight up, you're looking up. And I think part of that is, too, we're looking for Jesus. We're looking for him to come in the cloud, in the clouds. We're watching for him. That's hope. That gives us hope in order to carry on. Without that, then, you know, I know I'd be one of those people who's fainting from fear of what I think is going to happen. And I think if I didn't know Jesus, I know I'd be one of those people, you know.
I wouldn't leave my house.
Okay.
I really wouldn't. There are some really scary things in this world, and you know, not having the confidence that I'm, you know, covered by the blood of Jesus, and that I have the Lord as my advocate, and that He's always with me, I would be petrified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He gives me confidence.
Right. Well, and I mean, we just had six police shootings on Saturday in two states.
Yeah.
We have the threat of, you know, there's more threat of nuclear war now than any time since the Cold War. And yet, I want to say hope makes you blind to that sort of stuff, because it doesn't. Hope doesn't blind you to that. It lets you see beyond that. My hope in the second coming of Jesus, you know, my belief that gives me hope, means I can see beyond all of this stuff that's going on and know the final outcome. I know that the devil's not going to win. I know the Antichrist is not going to win. The false prophet is not going to win. The whore of Babylon is not going to win. False religion is not going to win. I know that in my heart, because Jesus is going to come back. And all the scares that we get from every side, from all around us, you know, and that's the sad thing. People live on fear. They feed on fear almost. Politicians use fear a lot, because if you can whip the people up into a fear, but then say, I have the answer, they're going to vote for you. And, you know, that's happened in the past. It'll happen in the future. And, you know, I believe that as chaos increases, people around the world will look for a, how shall I put this, little s savior. They'll look for somebody to save them. And that's going to pave the way for the Antichrist. Because as things get crazier and crazier, people are willing to give up a lot to stay out of chaos and to not lose their safety. People are willing to give up their rights to do that. And that just plays into the hands of the enemy. But I've read the end of the Bible. I've read the 19th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd chapters of the book of Revelation. I know how it turns out. And again, it's not like I'm turning a blind eye to the world situation. And I think we do, and it's not saying we don't need to prepare spiritually, materially, financially. I'm not saying that at all, because I firmly believe that. I think we need to pray to God for guidance. On what would you have me do in these situations? How do you want me to prepare? But I think we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, knowing that he will come, that he is in control, and he will return, and we'll be with him forever. Ooh, there I go again. Megan, any comments on that?
Oh, sure. You know,
I love it.
I always have a comment.
I know.
There is hope in this world. And I know that things are really looking really bad right now, that the way that the world is. And there's a lot of hate, and there's a lot of people that just are looking for a reason to blame somebody for something. Mm-hmm. And you know, the person to blame for all of the hate and all of the crimes that are going on in this world is the devil. He is out to seek, kill, and destroy us. He doesn't want us to go to heaven. And he doesn't want us to have eternal life. He doesn't want us to have hope. He doesn't want us to have faith. Because he's trying to tell us that, well, if, you know, you can't see Jesus, so why should you believe in him? Well, we see him everywhere. There are miracles that are being performed every single mm-hmm. day. And those miracles happen in people's lives. And if we don't share those miracles with people, how are we going to share the good news of our Father?
Amen. Amen. Angel?
Wow, this is a really good show today. Thank you. You know, I...
No, thank you.
I agree. I mean, I feel like it's so easy for us to get on this distracted bandwagon of what's going on around us, especially now. I mean, no matter which side of the fence we stand politically, it's political upheavalness, divisiveness in our country, people hating people for whatever, and there's so many types of hate, and it's spewed everywhere that we look. And, you know, if we just kind of think back to, like, right after 9/11 happened, and that's when Homeland Security came in, and people were, you're right, they were willing to give up so many of their basic rights to feel safe. And I think that scares me as a culture, because we're not, our safety and security comes in Christ. It does not come from any man, any political system in this world.
Amen. Amen. I just, scripture popped into my head. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of our God. And blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. You know, the Lord is his refuge. I just read that today in Psalm chapter 5. Blessed are those who make the Lord their refuge. And that's so true. That's what we have to do. But you're right. There is so much hatred and divisiveness. And what scares me is I see that a lot among Christians, which is a wonderful lead-in to our next song, which is The Proof of Your Love by For King and Country.
If I sing but don't have love, I waste my breath with every song I bring. An empty voice, a hollow noise. If I speak with a silver tongue, convince a crowd but don't have love, I leave a bitter taste with every word I say. So let my love be the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you made of. How you lived, how you died, love is sacrifice. So let my love be the proof of your
angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all of his mysteries and making everything as plain as day, and if I have faith to say to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give all I own to the poor, or even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So, no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, no matter what I do, I'm bankrupt without love.
Let my life be the proof.
The proof of your love.
That song is so good. And that does kind of bring us to the last section. The last thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, keeping love, kind of enduring in love. And it's so, I can't stress how important that is. I mean, we all know, like I've said throughout the show, we're judged, rightly or wrongly, more severely than non-believers. And I know, I mean, I have unsaved friends who certain brothers and sisters that are going to be surprised when they have to spend eternity with me in heaven, tend to be a little on the hateful side or use minorities, use situations to fundraise. Okay, that's not love. That's not love at all. And I just want to read out of Matthew chapter 24. Let's see. Well, we'll start with verse 9. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated on all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Sound a little familiar. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And then verse 12. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end shall be saved. And that's kind of the keynote scripture for this whole day. The one who endures in faith and hope, and in this case in love. And, you know, because of the increase in lawlessness, and what are we seeing? Are we not seeing an increase in lawlessness? You know, and I don't think it's just perspective because I'm getting older. I really don't. I really believe that lawlessness is increasing. But it says here that the love of many will grow cold. And that Greek word for love there is agape, which is the God kind of love, which is the love that we as believers have. So Jesus was saying that even believers will lose their love. But the one who endures until the end shall be saved. The one who endures in love until the end will be saved. And what does, you know, John wrote in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. So if we say we love God, John goes on to say, and, you know, ignore other people's needs or whatever because maybe they're different from us, they're other than us, then he says he just calls us out and says we don't know God. You know, the one who loves knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. Angel, your comments on that?
No, it's so eloquently stated. And I think it's so easy right now to be distracted because there are a lot of people professing Christianity and speaking in hate, and it sends a very mixed message to people. And being a Christian, it offends me to see hate coming from someone professing Christ. Because I am a Christian and I don't profess that same amount of hate, and I don't want to be lumped in with hate. And I think it just kind of adds into the kind of times we're living in right now, and we have to go over and beyond to show our love at this point, to prove that we aren't in that hate sector, that we aren't. You know, God is love, and if I have God in me, then I need to show love to everyone. And, you know, God did not discriminate what everyone meant them and everyone, people who think like us, people who don't think like us, people who look like us, people who don't look like us, people who are rich, people who are poor, like everyone.
Exactly. And I would add people who believe like us and people who don't believe like
Absolutely.
Us. Absolutely. You know, I think we live in a day of several phobias. And we as Christians cannot live in a phobia, whether it's homophobia, Islamophobia, xenophobia, whatever. we can't live in that, because we are called to love unconditionally. And yeah, that's tough. But as we've said, I know we've talked about this in Wednesday night Bible studies, I'm not talking about some gushy feeling here. I'm not telling you to get all gushy. I'm just saying it's a matter of your will. It's a, you know, agape love is not a feeling. It's an act of your will. It's unconditional love, which you can't, you might feel the warm, you know, the emotional side of it at times, but not always. You know, it's an act of your will. And I think of Jesus, you know, when he loved everyone. And yet, even the people that nailed him to the cross, because he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." But he asked the Father to forgive them, even as he hung on the cross. And if that, well, there's an old song, if that isn't love. And but that, you know, that's true. That's love, real love. Megan, your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's hard to love people sometimes. And, but it's like you said, it's not the love of that you would have for a significant other, such as your husband or your, you know, the person that you love, that you've God has ordained for you to marry. But it's a kindness. It's a generous, it's a servant's heart is the love that we are speaking of the Lord, is that you're willing to give your shirt off of your back to the homeless person that you see standing on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You're willing to help that handicapped person in the door if they're struggling to make it in the door at the grocery store. It's those little things that make that significant difference to people out in society. And you know, I know that people are going to hurt us, and I've had people hurt me, but we have to forgive. We're called to forgive, and we're called to still love those people. And yes, it is difficult, but that is where we are called to be like Jesus. And that is something that I try so hard to do in my life. And it just piggybacks on that song that you just played is, you know, let my life speak of him, speak of Jesus, that I want to try to leave that love, that caring, that servant's heart with everybody that I encounter, because that's important to me. I just, you know, I've always felt like that I have such a strong sympathy for people, and I have such a, like, I can sense when someone needs something, and, you know, sometimes that's hard to follow through, but that's where I have to step out of my comfort zone, and I was like, okay, Lord, you know, you're calling me to do this. I'm going to go do it. And when I do it, I have such a sense of peace. I have such a sense of accomplishment that, you know, the Lord is smiling upon me because I listened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that as Christians that we need to be more in tune with what he is asking us to do. And it's nothing difficult. It's not like, you know, boarding a plane and going into Africa or going into a country where there's upheaval. It's not like that. It can happen right here in your own neighborhood.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm reminded this week, I'm in my daily Bible readings, I'm in Proverbs, and one of the scriptures that I read was, don't withhold good from those that it is within your power to do so. And that very day I ran into two homeless people who asked me for money. And all I could think of was that scripture, and I thought, Lord, you got such a sense of humor, because you had me read that and knew I was going to run into these two homeless people. But it's the same, yeah, it's that compassion, the kindness. And I want to read out of Matthew chapter 5, and these are all scriptures we've heard. It's from the Sermon on the Mount, and I once heard it described as the most radical sermon ever preached. And the author, there was a book I read years and years ago, but he described the word radical comes from the Latin that means radix, R-A-D-I-X, which means root. So this gets to the root of everything. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 says, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, you will love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And that word perfect there does not mean sinless. It does not mean completely and totally holy. What it means in the original Greek is mature. Kind of, you must be mature. You must be grown up, even as your Father is grown up. And I love this, you know. I read this and I think, boy, I fall really short of these. Because it is hard. It's hard to love those who hate me. But would God command me to do something that I could not do? No, he would not. He would never do that. He's commanded me to love. And, you know, Paul writes in Romans, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given us. I think it's the King James says, shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given us. The same love that God has for the world. And remember, the world largely rejected Jesus. Hated him, crucified him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how much God loves us. And that's the kind of love that he's given to us, that lives within us. It's not like he's asking us to love on our own. You know, it's not like he's saying, okay, you got to love your enemies. And he'd not give us the resources. Paul says God's love lives within us through the Holy Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit within us, then God's love resides in us and is shed abroad, and we can freely give out God's love. Amen. Amen. Comments, Megan? Then we'll get to Angel.
Well, and I just have to say, you know, we were talking about earlier in the show, and I don't mean to go backwards, but
we
were talking about that fire that, you know, that we want to be Jesus freaks. And I was called that a while ago, but it was more directed as an insult, but I took it as a compliment because that meant to me that I left you with an impact that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm going to live eternally in heaven. So I did my job. But, you know, when you first, it's like this morning at church, there was about, we went to a new church this morning because we just moved to Michigan.
I saw the pictures.
Yes.
On Facebook.
And huge congregation. And the pastor, there was about 15 people that dedicated their life to the Lord this morning. And
praise God.
Amen. Yes. I've never seen this sound. It was so cool. And this church has a balcony. So just you can imagine the vast spans of how big this congregation was, that there was people in the balcony that had to come down. He called them down to the altar. And he went down off of the stage, and we all the whole entire congregation put their hand over their heart and put their left hand in the air, and we recited the prayer of salvation together. And we all, as a church body, dedicated these people to the Lord. And we all cheered and praised. and told them, welcome to the family. And it still gives me goosebumps because, you know, if you think back, and I think back myself, when we first gave our life to the Lord, how on fire we were, that we were learning something new, that we had something new to share, that our lives were changed, our past was forgotten. And that's the fire that's in our spirits that we need to reignite. Mm-hmm. We need to pour some gasoline on that sucker. We need to get in the Bible. We need to get back in church. We need to be those people that are ignited for the heavens, for the kingdom. And, you know, think back, you know, just challenge people that are listening today. Think back to that first day that you gave your life to the Lord and think about all of the junk that you took out to the trash and that you left behind, that the Lord forgave you and was giving you a new life, that he was renewing your spirit that day. And that's where we all need to go back to and restart from that point so that we all come alive again, that we're all not just walking around with our heads hung down, that we're walking around in the light, mm-hmm. that we're positive, that we're full of wisdom, and that we're full of that love that the Lord has for all of us. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no. Don't ever be sorry. Amen. Amen. Angel, comments?
I preaching today. Yo, this is definitely, there's some preaching happening here today. And it's true. And I think this is a good opportunity for us to kind of like as a thermometer on like, where do we stand? Am I falling in to what I see around me? Am I falling into fear? Or am I walking by faith? Am I showing love the way that Christ commands me to show love? Like, this is a great opportunity for us to like stand in the mirror, in that spiritual mirror, and see, okay, God, we have some work to do and help me get there, because I, now more than ever, Christians, we have to start showing that love and walking in that faith and being what Christ has called us to be.
Amen. Amen. And I think this show, maybe more so than others, was pointed more toward other, you know, our listeners who are believers. But I don't want to leave anybody out, of course. If you don't know Jesus, you need to get to know him. But, you know, for us who do believe, yeah, we need to stir up. What was it Paul said to Timothy? Stir up the gift. Set it ablaze again. You know, stir up those coals and get the fire going again. So, which brings us actually to a really good song by the Rhett Walker Band called When Mercy Found Me.
Mercy, friend.
Oh, praise God. That song kind of sums up the a lot of what we talked about today, which is great. And I just want to take the time to reach out to our listeners, because you may know Jesus, hopefully you do, or you may not. And we'd like to, we always want to make sure that you have the opportunity to come to know Jesus. That's everything we've talked about today. It's all about Jesus. And if you, maybe you've been one of those who've been hurt by someone who calls themselves a Christian, maybe because of who you are or who they perceive you to be. You know, God doesn't make those assumptions. God loves you no matter what. God loves you because he made you. Scripture says he formed you in your mother's womb. He knows when you sit down, when you stand up. He knows you're good, you're bad, and he loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. And Jesus himself is the sacrifice that takes away, not only just takes away our sins, but also turns away God's wrath. That's called reconciliation. You can be reconciled to God. He's done everything he needs to do. That's done in Jesus. God says, I want to be your friend. I want to be your Savior. I want to walk with you, not just now, but through all eternity. So I'd like for you to join me in this prayer. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, please pray this. And then I also want to just pray for those who are believers, that like we've talked about, that we would become, as Third Day sings about, a soul on fire, that we would catch that fire again, that we would have our gifts stirred up within us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. And Father, I pray for our listeners, for those who don't know Jesus, Father, I pray that the blinders would come off in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would soften their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone out there who does not know Jesus, who's listening to this show, that you would just move upon their lives. Father, confront them with the gospel. Confront them with your love. Confront them with your grace. Father, show them how much you love them. And let them look at you, Father, not to any human, but let them look to you. And Father, I pray for those who are listening who do know you. And that includes me, Father, that you would stir up your life within me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that, like Paul told Timothy, that we would all stir up the gifts. We would set them ablaze again within us. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall upon each one of us, that you would guide and direct us, that you would just pour out your Spirit upon us, Father. Give us faith, Father, that we can stand in this day. Give us faith, Lord God, that we're willing to lay down everything for you. Father, give us strength in our hope. Help us to keep our eyes on the hope that is ours through Jesus Christ. And Father, let us grow in love. Let us walk in your love and extend your love to every person we meet. Father, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, what a day.
Amen.
What a day. So, yeah, we've got a little bit of time here for final thoughts. Angel, how about you? Any final thoughts on this show?
Absolutely. I think this is a really good time for us as Christians to, step back and, like I said earlier, look in that spiritual mirror and, kind of reset where our focus is, reset where our faith is, mm-hmm. And is our faith growing? Are we loving? Are we,
are people seeing Christ when they see us? And remember that our mission field is where you go every day. You know, God might have not have called us across the world, but he called us to live where we live, right, work where we work, and to interact with whom he puts before us. And we have to take that seriously.
Amen.
And that includes social media.
Amen. Oh, I agree. Right. I mean, it's easy to get snipey on social media, that's for sure. And but that's, yeah, you're right. No further comment needed on that one. Megan, how about you?
Well, I just feel like that, you know, that the Lord is really, he's really out in his mission field, looking for those that are willing of heart and are willing of mind and spirit, because now more than ever, this world needs Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even though there's a lot of hatred left, there's a lot of hatred going on, and it's going to, I'm sure, get worse, we can make a difference no matter where we are. And we need to step up to the plate and make that difference, and also work on ourselves. Work on being a better neighbor. Work on loving your neighbors. That's mentioned in the Bible many, many times. And I just feel like that those that are listening today in need of a change, get back to church and fall to your knees in prayer and ask for forgiveness, because there's always a fresh start with the Lord.
That is so true. That is so true. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, we had some strong word going forth today, and it is certainly, I just want to make it plain, it's not to condemn anyone, because any of you that, you know, and that know me, know that when I preach, I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody else. So, you know, the word was for me also, and I think for all of us. And I just can't stress enough that we've got to, as believers, walk even more closely with Jesus than we have. And that's, you know, that's what we've all said today, Angel and Megan, that's what we've all said today, that we have to walk just that much more closely with him. Otherwise, you know, to re-quote Isaiah, if we don't stand firm in our faith, we won't stand at all. And so I just, you know, re-quoting Isaiah there. So, again, I want to thank all of our listeners. I want to just remind you, this has been Living the Good Life with me, Associate Pastor of Beacon of Hope Ministries, Jim Elsberry. I was joined today in the studio by Nan Watson, and on the telephone by Dr. Angel and by Megan. And I just want to thank the both of you so much for being on the whole time. I loved it. So, and I want to remind our listeners, if you are in the Tampa Bay area, please feel free to join us. We'll be at the Red Roof Inn the next two Wednesday nights. The next two, I believe. And that's at 6:30. We start praise and worship at 6:30 on Wednesdays. That's the Red Roof Inn at 3580 Olmerton Road in Clearwater. Please feel free to join us. We do start actually about 6, doing some prayer. And then we do praise and worship. We get into the Word. Please feel free to join us. And later on, if you are in the Tampa Bay area, especially if any of you are snowbirds and will be coming back down here, we will be meeting at Pastor Marsh's house up in Palm Harbor starting on Sunday. So we're moving from Wednesday to Sunday. The first Sunday service will be on September 10th. As a reminder, too, we also have the show Go Yard, which Dr. Angel and Pastor, under her pseudonym Mama Mac, are in. It's the life coaching show. That's on Thursdays at 6 o'clock. Again, you can catch this show. It'll be on the radio station's website in just probably later this evening. Pete's telling me it's gonna be on here in a minute. You can catch all of our former shows on the website. And remember, it's also on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Saturday and Sunday, Living the Good Life at 10 a.m., Go Yard at 12 noon. So again, I just want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Megan and Angel for joining me. And I want to thank Pete for being our engineer today. So remember, it's not far to Jesus.